a little combustible around here. No telling. No telling. Amen. I'm glad the Lord knows, though. Aren't you? Thank God for the power. Power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is so good to be here. And I appreciate Brother Poe's vision. And not only vision, but tenacity. Amen. If you ever do anything for the Lord, just get ready. There'll be critics. Critics are always those who aren't doing anything. But want to tell you how to do it. Amen. I'm not a big sports person. I know that's probably offensive to some of you. But you know, I get tickled some of these guys after a game or something. There's always somebody on the radio or something talking about it. If they'd have just done this, if they'd have done that, if they had, they ain't never played a game in their life. And they're always, anyway, but I appreciate him and his wife and family. Amen. And I can remember somebody calling me, oh, Lord, it's been a long time, and said, matter of fact, I think it was Brother David Shatwell said, I got an evangelist coming from Texas you need to have. And when he sent Brother Poe over, I called him. I said, my God, what did you do to me? He is wild. And matter of fact, he preached for me one time right before Christmas. We were so broke, we couldn't pay attention. And he preached, and I was nervous because, I mean, it's, you know, Christmas time. But I felt like the Lord wanted us to have that revival. There's a man that was visiting there. You remember that? And he stood up and he said, can I do what the Lord's asked me to do? And, you know, that could get a little dangerous. Yeah. So I said, yes, sir. Well, he come down and threw, I don't know how much, several hundred dollars on the altar, just stood on me. He said, I feel like I need to do that. And so we got all inspired, said, let's go another week. And that guy come back the next week. Can I say something? Well, I was feeling pretty confident by then to let him say whatever he wanted to say. He could have pastored the church at that moment. I didn't care. I said, sure. He said, do you believe the Lord can speak the second time? I said, yes, sir, and I hope he speaks several more times, too. And God took care of it. Amen. But, we had fun back then. One lady, he walked by. I'll never forget it. As long as I live, I'll never forget it. I didn't even know that she couldn't break the cigarette nicotine habit. I didn't even know that she smoked. And Brother Poe walked by her one night, and he stopped, got that crazy. He said, lady, you got the Holy Ghost dizzy. And I'm thinking, what? He said, you got the Holy Ghost dizzy. He said, you know, every time you take a puff on that cigarette, the Holy Ghost don't want to stay in there. He has to come out with all that smoke in there. He said, you got him in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. You got him dizzy. I'm telling you. Well, praise God. He ain't changed much either, I tell you that right now. Amen. Sister Poe, there'll be a special spot in heaven for you. Special reward system. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here, Brother Macy, in this wonderful church. What a beautiful building. We're thankful for the blessing of the Lord. We really are. And I just walk into something like this and think, boy, it'd be nice to have this in San Francisco, but I don't know where we'd put it. I really don't. I don't know that we even got a lot big enough right now to put something. Maybe we'd have to tear something down. But I'm thankful for the blessing of the Lord. Amen. And we appreciate them. Good to see all these men here on the platform. I'm among friends here tonight. If you're my enemy, just don't tell me. Don't tell me. Amen. But I want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. All right. Amen. And this is one of those that I'm just like, Lord, this is an old sermon, God. And there's a lot more fresh stuff, but it won't lift. And I'm gonna obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, and then I want to go to the third chapter and read 5. Amen. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? You ready for the Lord to just blow this place up here tonight? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amen. You know what? Nothing will ever substitute or take the place of an old-fashioned move of God. Nothing will ever take the place of it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. I feel to say this right now in the Holy Ghost. Paul says in concern to Moses with the veil over his face, we preach it that the veil, the glory was so radiant that it had to cover his face. But if you'll read on down through there, it said so that the people would not look upon the end of that which would be abolished. Because the people would have associated the law that Moses just brought down from the mountain, they would have associated that with the fading glory on his face. And once the glory had faded away, they would have thought the law had faded away. So not only did he put it on there for what we think the brightness, but he put it on there so they could not see the fading glory. And any time a church or an organization, a ministry starts losing the glory, and it becomes a fading glory, then we have to try to find some kind of a veil to cover it so people cannot see that it's not as bright as it used to be. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, there is not one light show, there's not one choir, there's not one trick that will ever take the place. And I'm for all of it, but nothing will ever take the place. Your marketing won't take the place. All the sensational stuff will never take the place of the glory of the Lord when it moves into a Pentecostal church service. You talk about a light show. My God, have mercy. I know when I announce this text, but I'm going to talk to you tonight about graveyard soldiers. Graveyard soldiers. May the Lord help us. Father, you've already given authority. It's done in the name of Jesus Christ. Your presence is mighty here. We know that you're going to do great things. Signs and wonders will happen in this place tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We give you the glory. Amen. Would you clap your hands one more time and magnify the Lord? Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. I know some of you have heard me tell this story before, but for the sake of those who are not here or have never heard it, let me quickly tell you the setting of the subject. A few years ago, I was assisting in the state of Illinois, and actually I was in a transition from assisting in the church to evangelizing. I didn't know it, but I was. And I had preached in Cairo, Illinois that night for an old man by the name of Brother Burchett. And I'd left, and we had took some of the men from the church. Our local church had ridden down with me, and so I'd taken them home, and I was making my way back to the our apartment. And the way that I had to go home, the road actually curved to the right and went around the perimeter of a graveyard. Actually, you could have gone straight because the road turned into a lane if you didn't make the curve and was the entrance of the graveyard. And so it was raining that night, and as I made the curve there at the graveyard, my light shone out across the graveyard, and there was a particular object in that graveyard. And when the headlights went across it, I just felt the Holy Ghost quicken me with something. And I know that if I'd have been as spiritual as some of you, I would have went out there in the rain that night and stood there in the mud. But I just thought the Lord would be kind enough to hold it till the next morning. And so the next day I got up, told my wife, I said, I'm going down to the graveyard. Really? Yeah, I'm going to the graveyard. So I got my Bible and a notebook, and I went down to the graveyard. And I stood there looking at this particular object. The object was a statue of a soldier. The best way to describe it, to explain it, was that he would have been in what we would probably say World War I military fatigues. There was a base on which the statue stood on, and at the base of it, there was an inscription that said, "To all the soldiers who have served in past wars." And it went on, talking about as a memorial to those who had fought and died, and was giving honor to our veterans and to those who had not been buried in a military cemetery, but actually had been buried there in the local city cemetery. So I'm standing there looking at that statue and just kind of wondering, maybe I missed it. Because I sure don't feel much inspiration right now. And I know some of you are thinking that that's a weird place to get a message, but some of you probably won't catch this, but trust me, I've gotten a lot of sermons in graveyards. You'll catch that here in just a second. I'm talking about some churches I've preached in that were like a graveyard. And so I got ready to leave. And as I was turning to leave, the way that the Lord deals with me, I heard it, this voice. As the statue is, so has the North American church become. I turned and looked at it, what does that mean? This statue has no life. He has no power. He has a form of a soldier. He looks like a soldier. But he's never crossed the sea to a foreign soil. He's never been in a foxhole. Never went through basic training. Never fired a rifle. Never fought a battle. He stands in death. He represents a glorious past. He is a memorial to others who have paid the price. He is a memorial to those who did know what it was like to sacrifice. And I'm here tonight to tell you, I just got enough red blood flowing through me about America to say I am thankful for every person that paid the price for us to have the freedom that we have in this place tonight to worship God. And we better quit taking it for granted. Amen. If I said this in San Francisco, it would offend a few of them. But if you don't like it, leave it. And quit trying to make us like all the other nations. This nation believes and has it inscripted on its coin, "In God we trust." And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We'll talk about that here in a second. I did not know. I did not realize that that would begin a journey, a long journey. And I'm not going to go into all of it tonight. But a few years later, after that, I wrote that stuff down that night. And I'm going to tell you, if we are not careful, we will just look to the past and talk about the revivals of yesterday and the things that happened before. But I am convinced that it is not the will of God for this end time church to have a form of godliness. Can I preach to you tonight what I feel in the Holy Ghost? It is not the will of God for us to tell stories about Grandma and Grandpa and Brother Barnes and Brother Cole. And I respect all of them and what God did in their day and what God did in their hour. I am convinced that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Brother Sham, our missionaries to Pakistan, was with us last week, and he made a statement. He's talking about miracles, and he said the problem is some of us have ceased being witnesses, and we've become historians. He said a witness is somebody that has seen it firsthand. He said an historian is somebody that studies it and talks about what used to happen. It is not the will of God for this end time church just to study the history of the book of Acts and talk about what God did then. I am convinced the same Holy Ghost they had, we have. I am convinced the same power of God that moved through that early church is moving right now. It's in this building right now. It's present here tonight. Somebody's going to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to realize it's not just a story. It's not just something we talk about. But it is an ever-present help. And it's a present tense situation. Hallelujah. Now just hear me. I grew up in the church. I can remember the sword drills. I mean, some of us are still pretty quick getting to places in the Bible. It's before the technology and the phones and all the other stuff we got now. But man, we'd have sword drills and we'd get in Sunday school classes and they'd talk to us about the Word of God. And I still see some of the old teachers crying and, you know, we get talking about Jesus and you kind of as a kid, well, what? And I grew up with this. I grew up with it. If you cut me, I'd believe Acts 2:38. I'm not looking for anything else. I don't know why when you found this, you want to go looking for something else. This is the message. Do you hear me? This is the message. We got it. It's not a mystery. It's been revealed. Somebody told me the other day, said, well, all this stuff is a mystery. And I said, it's a mystery that's been revealed. We're stewards of that mystery. We are stewards of that mystery. Jesus. But I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not. And trust me, in the city we're in, they don't like absolutes. And America's headed that way. It does not like absolutes. But when you say Acts 2:38 is the plan of salvation, that's an absolute. And they don't like it. I told somebody the other day, I said, I can't change it for you. If God changes it for you, the sun's going to fall out of the sky. It's settled, folks. It's settled. This is it. I grew up hearing about the name. I grew up hearing about the blood. I grew up with that stuff. I know what it's like to be in home prayer meetings. And them old timers get to praying. Well, they had some kind of growth in her throat. I don't want to be gross, but man, I thought she's choking to death. It's at a home prayer meeting. And man, well, what I didn't know is God was healing her. She's about to spit that thing up. And I mean, it just, I've seen that stuff. But it's not enough to have it intellectually. There is a difference in having intellectually and it being a revelation. Because a revelation comes by the Spirit, and only a revelation can put it into your spirit. Some people get it intellectually, but they never get the revelation of it. You ought to be able to point to the place and the time that God revealed to you in the Spirit. I guarantee if you resurrected Moses here tonight, he could tell you where it happened. I was walking by taking care of some sheep, and there's a bush that went to burning, but it wasn't consumed. And when I turned, some of us would have run the other way. But he said, I wanted to go check it out. He said, when I got there, a voice started speaking out of it and said, I think you ought to take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. You need a burning bush experience that you can point back to and say, it was there that he revealed to me that he's more than just a Sunday school story, and he's more than just the God of the pastor, but it was there and then that God showed me this wonderful truth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And if you don't have that, if you don't have that, somebody a little more intellectual is going to come around and put something else in your mind. But brother, if you got a revelation and you got a burning bush experience, I don't care if an angel comes telling you something else. There's something in you that says, oh, no, 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 no. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm gonna say, my grandma was dying. She lived in, I was born in Southeast Missouri, a little town called Kennan. She lived around there all, you know, so we was back there at the hospital, and I got some relatives that have been liberated. And so we're in the hospital with Grandma, and one of them started on me, just trying to argue. This is what I don't understand. If this new revelation you got is so more advanced, why are you so mean about it? Why do you want to be so argumentative about it? You know, you've been liberated by love, well... Anyway, so we're in there, and she wants to start an argument. I wasn't in the mood for an argument. I mean, Grandma's laying there dying. They want to start an argument. So they just keep on. Why don't you still do this? And one of my cousins, backslidden cousins, come in, and he's standing over there. Now, the problem is he ain't living it. But he got a revelation. And he stood there listening for a while. And I'm going to tell you, God spoke through a donkey before. He can do it again. He listened. He said, can I say something? He said, I don't know why Mark's not saying anything. I think I know, but he said, let me just tell you something. He said, if I ever decide to go back to church, he said, I don't know what in the world's wrong with some of you because you ain't the church anymore. He said, if I ever decide to go back, I'm going to go back where I know it's real and I know something can happen. You got to get it in you, folks. It's got to be more. It's got to be more than your mom's and your dad's religion. Well, I gotta. Let me tell you something. I gotta hurry. Now, trust me, I gotta hurry. Here's the deal. Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" Oh, some say thou art Jeremiah or Elias or John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And that's where revelation starts. It starts with somebody else telling you their perception or their concept of him. It's a grandma or a grandpa or a Bible school teacher or a home Bible study teacher or somebody telling you. Now, they may tell you he's a healer because somewhere in their life he healed them. So that's their ideal of him. They're going to tell you what their relationship with him has been. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said,
Well, that's good. But who do you say I am? Now it's got to be your revelation. Now listen to me. Let me help you here tonight. Here we go. Here we go. This generation's got to get it. You got to get it. You got to get it. And you will. And it's not going to be his revelation or his revelation or the church's revelation. It's got to be your revelation. My God. And the only place that you're going to get that kind of a revelation is at the altar. You've got to go seek God and say, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to get this for myself. Let me drop this in here real quick, and then we're going to get to where we're going to shout. I know everybody's worried right now. And I look across, I'm like, whoa. But a few weeks ago, the Lord dealt me about a subject. Paul's over here talking to the Corinthian church. What a messed up bunch of folks. How would you like to pastor at Corinth? I mean, you think it's bad. They turned the Lord's Supper into a picnic. I mean, they got a boy in there sleeping with his own mother. I mean, it was a messed up bunch. You got a bunch of women in there, they don't know submission, and I mean, you know. Well, that went over real well. I mean, you got all kinds of problems in there. And Paul speaks to that church and says, for there must be heresies among you. What in the world is he talking about? For there must be heresies among you. And then he tells you why. So that which is approved may be made manifest. So Paul said, let me tell you why heresies come. They don't come to reveal the heretic. They come to reveal those who are approved. And the word approved there means those who maintain or have held on to their faith. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. Heresies have been around since the church was founded. And it's not going to change. It's not going to change. And we got a bunch of it going on right now. Some of the same issues, some of the same issues that Paul had to deal with, we're dealing with right now. Same issues. And you know what? What are we going to do? If we're not careful, we can get so focused on the heresies that we fail to understand. Are you listening to me? We fail to understand that God said, I'm just doing this so I can make manifest those which are approved. In other words, the true church. It's going to come shining through all this stuff. I hate to disappoint some of you, but he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's going to have a church. Now, let me try to get back where I need to be here. You know, I had it up here. Then I went through a situation. Some of these old prophets, they can scare you. I mean, the real deal. A true prophet's not always telling you you're going to be blessed. Matter of fact, when the Old Testament prophets come to the gate of the city, they'd send an offering out. And they'd ask, have you come in peace? Some of them old prophets, they didn't even mind telling the king, thou art the man. And I was preaching for old brother Kenneth Reeves. And I knew he was a little different. One night after church, he said, I need to talk to you. Oh, okay. So church cleared out. We sat down, and he was on the front pew, and I sat on the second pew about right here. And he starts telling me this real weird stuff. I mean, like, I see birds of prey as big as airplanes, and I see a path of gold. And man, I'm sitting there like, my God. What in the world? They got padded cells for folks like you. And well, then he says, I see you being attacked. Don't you love it when those people do that kind of stuff? Why can't they ever walk up and say, I see a millionaire coming to you, giving you $1 million? No. It's always something about to happen. And so I said, really? He said, yes, sir. He said, matter of fact, I see you being attacked by a female. I was like, oh, great. Wonderful. All I need. He said, no, listen to me. He said, let me explain something to you. He said, spirits take on natures. Now, if you'll listen to me, I'll help you something. Spirits take on natures. He said, when you dream about being attacked by a male, he said, that's kind of like the lion approach. A male's aggressive. He's violent. He's going to come straight at you. He said, like a roaring lion. But he said, when you dream about a female, he said, being attacked by a female, he said, the issue is, she's the subtle serpent. She's coming with seduction. And he said, this thing is going to come seducing. He said, it won't come right at you. It's going to come seducing. He said, in matter of fact, he said, it will last and you will despair of life before it's over. So, he said, I've seen it start somewhere around southeast Missouri down there, close to the Mississippi River. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not that spiritual. And I was kind of like, he said, you don't believe me, do you? I said, brother Reese, it's kind of out there. He said, okay, as a confirmation this is from God, I'm fixed to tell you where you're going to go hold revivals for the next few months. I'm going to tell you a calendar. But okay. And he did. He said, when you leave here, you're going to this church. He said, matter of fact, when you get there, he said, there'll be a spirit of perversion arise on that church. And he said, you will see the judgment of God smite it. He said, and when you leave there, he said, you're going to this church. And this is what's going to happen. And I mean, months, he told me. And the only thing I thought is that he got two places mixed up on the calendar. But later on that year, these pastors, they canceled and swapped dates. Let me just tell you, when he got through, I was believing. And it started. It started. And it's still an ongoing revelation. Somewhere in the course of all this, I had a dream. And in the dream, there was a woman that came to me. We was in a hallway. She said, come into this room. We stepped to the room. There were two chairs. We sat down. She said, across from me, she said, I have been sent to destroy you. And I started pleading with her, please leave me alone. Please just go away. I'm telling you, she had laughed, this cynical laugh. She said, no, I'm going to destroy him. We're sitting across from each other, Brother McLean. And she had her hands up like this, and she was sitting, like, facing each other. And she starts dropping her hands like she's going to place them on my knees. And just about the time, I mean, I'm begging with her. Let me tell you something. I'm going to explain something to somebody here. If you think you can beat the devil in the flesh, never in your life. And that's why some of you are not living a victorious life, because you get in the ring with him. You don't let the Holy Ghost go in the ring for you. I don't care. You better learn about praying in the Spirit. You better learn about intercessory prayer. You better learn about the Holy Ghost. And it's going to take a little bit more than I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Every time you get in the ring with him, he's going to beat your head in. You cannot fight a spiritual battle in the dominions of the flesh. Ooh, I got a gun. And so I'm pleading with her, please, please. And just about the time she touched me, it felt like somebody put hot oil on the top of my head and it started running down. And something happened in my mind. And I said, you can't touch me. And when I said, she laughs. She said, and why can't I touch you? This real cynical laugh. Here it comes. I said, I'm going to tell you why. Because the name of Jesus is greater than you are. And his blood is more powerful. Brother, when I said that, it's like somebody shot her. She jerked them hands back. She said, what did you say? You know, after you've been beat up for a while, it's kind of nice to be on the offensive. I said, you heard me. His name is greater and his blood's more powerful. Brother, she knocked that chair over, trying to get away. She backed up against the wall. She said, don't say that to me. I said, I'm going to tell you one more time. His name is greater and his blood's more powerful. And I've come tonight to tell somebody in a battle, his name is greater. His blood's more powerful. I don't care what kind of devil you're fighting. He was defeated at Calvary. Hallelujah. I want to say it again. I want every devil in Houston to hear it. His name is greater. His blood's more powerful. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Listen, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear it. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, are you listening? Every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth. Now when Paul talks to the church of Colossae, he didn't say under the earth. He just said which things are in heaven and on the earth. He left out under the earth because Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthian church, he's not quite finished yet. But there'll be a day that he will deliver death back to the Father. He will have conquered it. God have mercy. This is specific. When he came out of the grave, I don't know how else to explain this to you except like this. Let me talk just a second about sonship. When Jesus Christ was walking on the face of the earth, there was that dual nature. He was fully God, fully man. For in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But let me tell you about being glorified. I had a chemical engineer one time come to me. I was talking about being glorified, teaching on sonship. And he come up, he said, did you know that anything that ends with an IDE means that you've taken two different components, fused them together, and they can never be separated ever again? She said, like chloride. She began to tell me what all it took to make chloride. And she talked about two chemicals, and once they were mixed, she said, I don't care how much you heat it. I don't care what you put to it. You can never separate it again. And she said, did you know, preacher, that you can spell glorified correctly in the English with an I-D-E at the end of it? I said, whoa. Let me tell you what happened when he come on the other side of death. Something got fused together. That body and that spirit become fused together. You can never separate it again. That's why it pleased the Father that in him, and when he comes out on the other side of death, he said, it's good. He said, it gives me glory and honor that in him
He has become my permanent abode. Now let me help somebody. That means that he didn't just conquer. You know, when he stands there and he says, all power's been given to me in heaven and in earth. Hang on, it's a little bit more than that. When he come out on the other side of the grave, he said, I took the best blow that Satan could throw. He hit me with everything he could hit me with. Are you listening? He hit me with everything he could. The best punch he's got, which is death. But I conquered it. Are you listening? That tells me, number one, on that great getting up morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Because he conquered it, I can conquer it. Because of the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwell in you, it's going to quicken your mortal body. That means the same hope that he had, you have. Death is not going to conquer you. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, something's going to happen. This whole mortality's going to put on immortality. This corruption's going to put on incorruption. I'm telling you, that's the hope of the church. And the reason why you have that hope is because he conquered death. If that name conquered death, which is the greatest blow the enemy can throw, Paul said there's not one thing that the name of Jesus is not exalted over it. Cancer, leukemia, diabetes, fear, oppression. You can name anything you want to name, but you just remember that name is above it. And when you say in the name of Jesus, hell begins to tremble because it remembers on the third day we couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I've come tonight to tell you, his name is greater. His blood's more powerful. Now listen, listen, listen. I come out of that room, come down the hallway, come to the end of the door, come to the end of the hallway, there's some doors there. What's past all this? You're just going through it, I'll show you. Them doors open, I stepped out, and as far as I could see was a mass of people. Mass of people. Men in front were dressed in suits. I said, who is this? This is the North American church. I said, but they're asleep. They're dazed. Brother Mason, he was like, they were just almost like zombies. Just, I said, who are the men in front? Says, that's the ministry. They had such dazed looks. Just weary. Weary. I said, what in the world do I tell them? In that day, you will say, the day of the battle is here, but my name is greater. And my blood is more powerful. Listen. I slipped down. Walked down, touched the first one. I said, hey. And Brother McKee, they'd wake up and kind of. And they'd just start. Just tired. Just weary. Just can't seem to get a break and just. Oh, on and on out here. My family, my children, my health, finances.
Just on and on and on and on. I never even got to the people. Never got to the people. And you know what? I have lived life long enough to see it coming to pass. If you could see in the spirit, it'd almost be like that graveyard soldier. Because it's better to remove yourself from the battle and just talk about what used to happen. Takes the pressure off. Just kind of a peaceful coexistence. But the problem with that is you've lost. You've lost. People are, they're hurting. I was praying this afternoon. It's just like, I could hear the words of Jesus. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're going through things. They're fighting things. Pastors. And you know what? Since I've been here, I've listened to several just, man, the battle, the battle, the battle, the battle. And it's here. And I don't want to really mess with you too much, but it's not going to get any better. Boy, I lost y'all. It's not. There's a battle for this nation right now. You think hell's going to back up? It wants to take this nation down. There is a battle for apostolic identity right now. There's a battle raging. There's a battle for the power of the church to make us sterile. I'm not trying to be issue-oriented here, but I want you to listen to me. There's a battle just to take this from us. Just. Forget all that stuff, and it doesn't, you know, it's crazy. It's a little, I'm going to tell you something. When you start having spiritual things happen, it gets a little confusing at times, and it's a little hard to understand at times. I understand probably some of you are so spiritual, every time God does something, you completely understand what He's doing. But it doesn't work that way. And the more we get into it, it's like the people, they went to Moses. Well, why don't God speak to us like He speaks? Moses said, okay, that's fine. I would to God, all of you were prophets. He went to God. God said, yeah, I'll talk to them. Tell them to sanctify themselves in 3 days. I'll come visit with them. So they went on a 3-day fast. They gathered down at the bottom of the mountain. And the Bible says when the Lord came down, He came down in a thick cloud of darkness. You'd think He'd come down in light. But He come down a thick cloud of darkness. See, I don't want to mess with you too bad here, but the fact is before you get to the light of God, there's darkness. And the darkness is what separates people from the real. Oh, some of you looking at oh, God's light. Well, go read the Bible. Job even said it. He said, for God had shrouded Himself in a thick cloud of darkness. And when God come down that mountain, He came down in darkness. And when He went to speaking, the Bible says it sounded like shrill trumpets. And the people said, it's confusing. Oh, it hurts our ears. Forget it. And they went back to their tents. And old Moses, he said, I'm coming up. And he started climbing. He's climbing through the darkness. I'm preaching to somebody right now. He was climbing through the darkness. Nobody was with him. And there is no dignity in the darkness. You trip and you fall. You can't even hardly see what's in front of you. Help me, Holy Ghost. You don't know what's ahead of you. You're just climbing. All you know is you're climbing. All you know, He's in here somewhere. I'm going to find Him sooner or later. I don't understand everything that's going on, but He's here somewhere. I know it's a little shrill, it's hard to understand, but I'm telling you, I'm going up. We used to sing that old song, I'm going up the rough side of the mountain, but here I come. I preach to the people right now, you've been in darkness for a long time, and it's a little confusing, you don't understand it, and you trip and you fall and you get up and you're bloody and you bruise, but if you'll keep climbing, His name is greater. His blood's more powerful. And He's got you on a journey. I said, He's got you on a journey. Listen,
Finally, Moses come up out of the darkness. Whoo, when he got to the top, God was waiting on him. You know what he told Moses? You know what he told him? He said, Moses, I had to do it like this, lest the people break through and gaze upon me and perish. And one translation says, Moses, I am not interested in the curiosity seeker. I only want those that are pure at heart. See, some of you look at the way Brother Poe and some of these men operate and stuff, and you want to break through and gaze upon that. And God says, if you just are curious just for a self-seeking purpose, you're going to perish. You can't handle it. I don't want to mess with some of you here tonight, but I am going to tell you, if God gave you everything you ask Him for, you couldn't handle it. And He knows the process. Well, it's almost turning to negative, hasn't it? He knows the process. But if you'll just keep climbing, because I promise you this, in that darkness, He's working on you. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be folks in this end time that are going to get past the darkness and past the confusion and past the trumpets, and they're going to stand in the glory of God's illuminating power, and God's going to reveal things to them that they... And one of the great revelations is going to be this. It doesn't matter what battle, it doesn't matter what He throws. I've got a promise. His name is greater. His blood's more powerful. Let me hurry to a close. Listen. I'd received that and was excited about it. I was preaching a few years ago in Tommy Craft's church. And after service, they led old blind Sister Frazier up to me. She'd like to talk to you. It's all right. And so, if you ever knew Sister Frazier, man, she'd just grab you and start talking in tongues. And then she said these words, God has given you two great revelations, but the third will make them dim in comparison. And I said, you've lost your mind. How in the world can there be something greater than the name and the blood? Just a few days after that, I was reading, and I come across this verse. For I have exalted my word above my name. And the Lord said, I just gave you the third weapon, the word. Don't you listen? Let me rephrase that. The word in that arsenal that Paul talks about, the word is the only thing you have for offense. Everything else he mentions in there is to protect you. But the only weapon that he gave you was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you ready for this? I'm closing. I'm in a hurry. I see the runway. Lights are on. Landing gear's coming down. You have a heart attack, you'll change your mind about all that taking your time. Jesus in the wilderness. And you remember, he's got the blood flowing through him. He's got the name. But here come the devil. Got right up next to him.
Let me borrow you there, buddy. Come up here. Yeah, right up. Well, you look slick. Yeah, right up next to him. You married? All right, just checking. I'm going to try to help you out here tonight. And you know what? Here's the devil. Kind of hungry, aren't you? Just turn these stones to bread. I never find Jesus saying, I rebuke you, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. Nope. It is written. Three times. Let me borrow that too. I like that. Them are nice. I'll get one of those. I may start preaching like Brother Pope. Three times. It is written. It is written. It is written. Now let me tell you something. There's going to be times in your walk with God. You're going to, I rebuke you, devil. That preacher said the name of Jesus is greater. And the blood's more powerful. You listen to it? And when you get through and the smoke clears, he's still going to be standing right there. That went over real well, didn't it? But there's one thing. Because I'm going to tell you, God's going to put you in that battle sometime when you're going to rebuke, 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 and plead the blood, plead the blood, and plead the blood, and plead the blood. And here comes the enemy. I want you to listen to me right now. Here he comes. You know what he's going to say? Must not have the power. What's wrong with you? Now, I want you to listen to me. God is going to put you in a situation where you know that you can't get any credit. And a lot of you, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And if he'd have took off, you'd have said, look what I did. Well, I promise you this. There's going to be situations. There's going to be situations. Sister Poe, that everybody in the world can come by and lay hands on you and pray for you. God will heal you. Or whoever else has a disease or whatever. I rebuke this disease. I command it to go. I know what it's like to do that. I know what it's like to do that in my own life. And he'd still be standing there when I got through. Because the trial of your faith. Not the faith of Jesus Christ, but the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Where does faith come from? By hearing. And let me tell you the weapon when he's still standing there. It is written. By his stripes, I am healed. It is written that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. It is written. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm not trying to do this to start a fad. This is not my motive for saying this. That lady come to church one night in Okmulgee. Matter of fact, she was originally from the Texas district. Even been in charge of the deaf ministry of the district here. And she'd got out of church, got all messed up. She come to church that night. And they had her down there, and they were praying for her and trying to cast devils out. And, I mean, it was quite a show. So I went over there, and I rebuked the devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to nothing. Just kind of like he's standing there sticking his tongue out at us. Well, I ain't coming out. And I got a little inspiration.
I went and got my Bible. She was on her hands and knees. I went and got my Bible, and I tossed my Bible like that right in front of her. And when I did, it's like I slapped her. That head come up. I said, "You really want to be free?" Mm-hmm. I said, "The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee." I said, "Until you submit to God," which means I submit to that word, "you're not going to be free. But the moment that you can honestly submit, there is not a devil in hell or out of hell that can hold you." Now, just listen. Is this all right? Now, let me help you. If you're not submitted to the authority of the Word, how can you use it? Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? Let me tell you why they said that. Let me tell you. I promise I'll be through. Let me tell you why they said that. Jesus, we know Paul, because Paul was submitted to Christ. And so when Paul spoke to him, it was not Paul's authority, but it was Christ. It was Christ. Can I just do one more thing here real quick? Let me. I need a smaller person. Not that you're not small, but just a real small kind of, preferably a young man, smaller. Where? Yeah, come up here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm starting to get a little hungry. Okay. Now I need kind of a real big guy. Somebody help me out here. Yeah, come on. Hurry. There you go. Now watch this. Let me show you something. He's going to be God, okay? The Word. Stand right here. Just kind of face. Okay? Come back up here. You're going to switch partners now. You're going to be the devil. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you something. Now, I hope this makes sense. Here's the deal. Here you are. And this is the kind of faith you have, okay? God's dealt to every man a measure of faith, right? And so, God had to show this to me the other day. Because Brother McLean kept talking to me about the faith of the Son of Man. And I'm like, "Brother McLean, man, you need to warn people you start talking to get scuba gear on, because you fix go diving into the 10,000 legions of the sea over here." He gets talking, and I'm like, and I mean, it's deep and profound, but he's off. I mean, he's out there with it. I mean, he's so deep, Jacques Cousteau waves at him as he comes by. I mean, that's a compliment. But the problem is sometimes I meet things in my faith. But see, it finally dawned on me the other day, I need to quit having faith for my situations, and I need to tap into the faith of something bigger. And the life I now live, I live through the faith. So here I'm over here trying to have the right kind of faith, trying to pray the right kind of prayer. But the problem is Paul teaches this to the church at Rome. And the whole book of Romans is nothing about trying to teach fleshly people how to live spiritually. And this is what he says. He says, "For likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself helpeth." Right? Now watch this. See, I can't approach the throne with perfect faith or perfect righteousness on my own. But when I submit to the Word of God, it's like all of a sudden I get enveloped in something much bigger than I am. Just listen. I want to help you right here. That means, if I'm submitted to that and that word, and I start, that means when I go to praying in the Spirit,
It is the perfect prayer. Watch this. It's my high priest going before the throne for me, saying, I have perfect faith and I can pray the perfect prayer. And all I have to have is faith in him. I don't know. Does that make sense? I've talked to your dad about all that this weekend. Listen, that's why when I come in the name of Jesus, by the blood and the word, come around. Don't face him. The devil can't even see me. Come here. No. Stand right there. And all he can see is what happened 2,000 years ago. Oh, I know him. I know him. I know what he can do. I'm telling somebody tonight, his name is greater. His blood's more powerful. But the third one is, his word is above it all. Just remain standing. Now listen to me. If you're in a spiritual battle and God has not spoke to you and told you this is going to be a little bit and this is the trial, but the enemy doesn't budge, then I suggest you look at two things. You're either not resisting or you're not submitted. Because if you are submitted to the word, and when you speak it, that's not... Back around, little buddy. Come back over here. Here.
You're the enemy, you're after the guy behind you, right? When that boy comes, all the mics will take one, they're messed up.
When that boy comes in the name covered by the blood and submitted to the word, and he speaks the word of God, it ain't him you hear. It's not Tiny Tyke you hear. He hears something that John said, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word abideth forever. And so when the enemy's trying to do something, you just keep saying the word. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, but if that don't work, I got a verse for you. My God, have mercy. Well, by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority right now through the word of God. The word says, and by my stripes you are healed. I take authority over diabetes in this building right now in Jesus' name. I said, we take authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ, because the word of God proclaims that we're healed. Weeks ago, I had a little health issue. Since that time, it kind of triggered some other stuff. I was praying today. I got two chairs out, Brother Poe, and I set them across from each other. And I told this thing, I said, I'm going to remind you of a dream. I'm going to remind you of something the Lord gave me. And so I set him one side and I put another chair across from me, a little desk chair. I started talking. I said, God said, His name is greater. His blood's more powerful. And when I was praying it, the Lord said, I want to talk to you real quick about something. There's a little area of your life I want to talk to you that I want you to submit to me. The Lord spoke a couple things to me. And when He spoke it, I wanted to reason with Him. I really did. I said, Lord, let's work on this. Let's do a little bargain here. That's a little tough. I want to do it, but it's just, I know me. And anyway, finally, He said, your authority lies in your submission. Right. And if you'll submit that to me, I'll give you the authority to tell that thing to go. Oh, I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost right now. There's a lot of you here tonight. Your victory is only one act away. Some area that you just need to give Him. And you keep trying to reach an agreement with Him. Let me keep a part of it. And I'll... He says, no, submit yourself therefore to me. And I'll give you the power to resist this. Whew. So you know what? There's all kinds of authority in this place right now, Brother Poe. There is power in this place. We're not going to be graveyard soldiers here tonight. And a lot of the battles you're going through, just God waking you up, showing you how powerful He really is. It's not going to destroy you if you'll submit yourself to God. Oh, I feel some of you kind of backing up on me right now. I just want you to tell me all I got to do is say Jesus. It's not that easy. Because when you say Jesus, what you mean is He's Lord. He's Lord of everything. And brother, when you make that statement, there is not anything that can stop you from living for God. I feel like I'm losing you for some reason.
Come on.
He's here right now to heal you. He's here right now to deliver you. He sees the battle you're in. He sees the stuff that's going on. He's here right now. And if you'll just, in your will, God have mercy. I'm not going to get in that. If in your will, if you'll right now just say, I give to you. I can't do this. Here it is. And then you'll resist the enemy. I promise you, he's got to run. Are you ready? There's going to be miracles here tonight. We haven't lost anything. There's miracles here right now. I'm in a battle. His name is greater. I've been fighting. Boy, something trying to lock up right now. See, I got over where our real battle is. Let me tell you where our real battle is. It's the will. Jesus didn't die on the cross. He died in the garden. Father, you know, I got to stop. I really do. Hand me that bottle. Sister Poe, come here a second. I'm sorry, bottle of water. Listen, I said this at your house today. The mother of James and John. Can one of my boys sit the right hand and the other left? Jesus said, that's not for me to give. That's up to my father. But let me ask you a question. Can they drink the cup that I'll drink of? And most of us preach the cup that Jesus was in reference to in the garden. Was the cup of sin? No. No. No.
How could he invite James and John to drink the cup of sin with him? No. Absolutely not. You know what that cup was? Suffering. This is where Jesus died. It's when he's on top of the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah start telling him, you know what they told him? You're going to get your face beat off in Jerusalem. They're going to kill you in Jerusalem. And now he's in the garden and the Father hands him the cup. You want to suffer with me? And the Bible says in weakness he was crucified. But in the power he was resurrected. And Brother Paul, I'm not trying to put a damper on this meeting here. But see, a lot of you want power. But the only way to power is, can you drink that cup with me? And this is where Jesus, looking at the cup, knowing what was ahead of him. Are you ready for this? I don't care how powerful we preach him. You know, and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Here's where he died. But nonetheless, not my will. I'm going to submit to your authority and to your will right now. And when he did that, God said, I'm going to raise you up. Nobody likes the cup. But it's about over. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, it's just about over. It really is.